As I said this morning, after considerable prayer, I have decided, I've asked Walter, if he will, to bear the burden of, there always has to be someone. And then if there are any questions that arise, and then any crisis or anything, Walter will go to Audrey, and Audrey can get a hold of me by phone, so that you'll know what we're doing here. Praise the Lord. But it is a strong church, and I know that each one of you is going to find even richer opportunity to grow in the Lord and to pray and to seek His will. With reference to the prophecies tonight, I had mixed emotions. I know they're of the Lord, and I noticed two different veins. I've noticed this throughout churchianity. I'm not at all sure of what it all means, but I give it to you because I believe it's that I should, for your edification, and then you'll have to pray. You notice the first prophecies were very strong, I don't know if rebuke is the word, or exhortation, or warning. Did you notice that? See, and there's really two voices in the land, and maybe both are necessary. That's the part I don't know. That's the part I don't know. I hear people talk about inner healing, and I see the need for it. And I think some are doing this very well and very helpfully. And then I hear other things that the Lord is saying that are more they're more objective. One voice is saying, I've called you to be disciples, serve me. And the other seems to be a kind of a comforting of people, almost leaving them with the idea that what you're doing is okay, and I've called to bless you and that you might make a success. And maybe they're both of the Lord, I don't know. But I want you to consider these two things, because they were both in the prophecies tonight. And I don't trust my own spirit. I'll tell you, you're a great safety for me. Anyone can be deceived, and I put myself at the forefront. God gives me many things to prophesy. There's hardly a day goes by that I don't prophesy to myself personally. And the prophecy that comes to me over and over concerning the church here is that it's still business as usual. And I look around and I see the people. I think, Lord, there's people here that I know that are really giving it their best shot. So it's hard for me to recognize. And after a while, I figure, well, you know, I've got to be wrong. The outside must match the inside. And then I hear the things thunder forth tonight like that. And it confirms what I'm feeling. And I don't know who it's for. And I'm honest with you, I don't know. It's a dangerous business to second-guess people. Praise the Lord, because you look at them, and sometimes you receive one impression, and it's quite different. I know some of you bear very bitter and heavy crosses that others do not know about. I know about them being pastor. I appreciate Mary Berciaga's testimony. I know that's real, and that God's bearing right down to the anvil of her soul. And I can see the people growing. But I felt it only fair and my duty, really, to tell you that the prophecy that I'm getting is not one so much about how God wants us to tidy up. I don't know, maybe that's the word. You follow me? But God has a world that's in chaos. And He wants us to get our minds off of ourselves, our problems. Dear Jesus, will we ever get to the place where people are not ministering to our needs? I think the Lord's going to come with 10 million tons of diapers if things don't change. Do you know what I'm trying to say? I want to say it in just the right way so that you'll be edified. But I hear the trumpet tonight. And God, and you know, what God is expecting of us and what we perceive to be the normal Christian life are so diverse that it's hard for me to say step one, do this, and step two, do that. I just want to keep you alert that unless I am hearing wrong, and I could, and you need to pray for me, God is not saying to us, you're doing great, don't change. He's saying to us, I have told you, I have told you, I have told you, I have told you, and the day of your visitation is nearly over. And that is what God is telling me. Judgment all the time. And I'm not going to preach all the time. People won't grow. I had a marvel at this Lutheran church I preached in because everybody was so happy. I said to Audrey, how does a church stand an old sourpuss like me? Here the pastor, you know, everybody's happy and they're dancing and everything, but I think I'm correct in saying I don't notice the death in other churches. I notice other good things, ministries going on. Don't misunderstand me. People are growing. Great work is being done in the inner city where we were. Real things that are being done for God. But I don't feel either the growth or the demands that are on this church. Now, if my perception is a true one, and I'm relaxed and happy and have a good attitude toward everyone, I'm under no strain that I know of. But I thought, I want you to listen to the prophecies when they come forth, and you'll notice there's a difference here. And you'll hear the thunder of the Lord. Then you have to say, as someone pointed out, what is God saying to me? What is God saying to me? And I don't want to come down too heavy because I know some of you have a nervous breakdown if you try any harder. You're doing about all you know to do. But if this were true of everyone in the church, why do I keep getting these prophecies? And the Lord say, Bob, they're playing games. That's either the Lord or it isn't. And you're the only ones that know. I don't know. I don't know. And I'm not saying harshness or lack of love or anything. I wish the Lord would say to me, Bob, they're all doing great and everyone's right up to the 10th power and they're just going on. But that isn't what he's saying to me. He's saying to me, the day of their visitation is almost over and then they will be tried. And I said, well, how are they going to go? And the Lord is saying to me, if I hear his voice correctly, we'll see. Praise the Lord. Kind of magnificent, isn't it? I should stand up here and tell you some loving, comforting thing and preach you a 20-minute sermon interspersed with various specials and things and all to get you out of here on time and get the next group in. And there is no other group. Someone said to Audrey, he must be booked far ahead. I had to look at my schedule, I see. Take out the garbage on Wednesday. So much for pig preaching. But I keep getting this from the Lord. The idea that some of us either don't see or aren't doing what we do see, and someone said it better tonight in the prophecy. I can't remember the term, but it was perfect. But the only word that comes to me is accommodate. It's trying to kind of get the message and place it so that you can live your life. That won't work. What we are preaching is discipleship. There's no way that you can accommodate yourself to it. It's hopeless. You either take everything you are and just heap it at Jesus' feet and say, Lord, my life is over. Or you'll never see the best that God has for you, and the day of your visitation will be over. See, the trumpet is sounding in the church. You can hear it isn't a thing of haste or anger so much. The idea, it's an alarm. That's the word, it's an alarm. And I think if I'm hearing the Lord correctly tonight, he wants us to be alarmed. Well, alarmed at what? What am I supposed to do? I go out of here discouraged? Is that what it's supposed to be? I'm alarmed, you know? No, it must, I suppose, speak to the individual in the terms that God has for you. What does it mean to you? Are you occupied with yourself? Is every service going to be to tell you how to bake a better loaf, lose weight, get all your problems worked out? Eh? Is everything going to be for your healing? I'm not talking to you as you. I'm just talking generally, rhetorically. Just asking rhetorical questions. I'm not expecting an answer. I'm just postulating, this thing that I don't have too clear in my mind, is God going to deal with us till we're dead in the flesh after we're 80 about, help me, Lord, today, I haven't quite made it, heal me inside, heal me, I've got a pain in my back, I'm 80 now and I think I'm going to need glasses, heal my eyes. Is this the way our life is going to be? I think, Shakespeare said, there's the time taken at the flood leads on to glory, and I think we are at the flood. I think if I hear the Lord correctly, this is a tremendous and significant hour. And you can't place it alongside of the current interest rate or anything else. It's a whole different thing. It's a losing of yourself and your aches and your pains and your wants and your desires and everything else. It's just a casting of it away with a view to the fact that there's a whole world that is in turmoil, and God is doing great things, and you have a place in it. You haven't been called to live a little pettifogging American life, occupied no more than the daily problems. God save me today, the handle broke on my icebox. But that's what our life becomes. And I think that's what the alarm is saying. It isn't a case of our problems or anything else. It's an objective thing. God is saying, I am doing things. People are dying while we're here tonight. In confusion, someone said something that really touched me in Miami. This Christian had gotten into considerable sin and had suffered greatly and still is suffering greatly trying to come out of this thing. Ashamed, angry, confused. And they said, we have not had teaching. We have not had teaching. Now, God has given us in this church, this has been our peculiar function. And this is a peculiar church. It really is. If you go around, you see other people, the way they do things. Each church has a kind of a contribution that it makes to the body of Christ. With some, it's work in the inner city. And with others, they have this ministry that they make. And others have this ministry. Well, the ministry of this church is teaching. And as far as I can tell, and I surely don't like to keep talking about it because it sounds like an ego trip, but as far as I can see, I brought a couple of these books to Miami, and the people looked at it, and the idea is, you know, where has this been? And they said, we're going to kidnap this guy. And they've got stuff that they want to, there's one of the fellows that's working on it, they're trying to put together a thing where they can just take all of my books and just print them. Still putting them out in Xerox. Still mailing bulky, expensive Xerox, and the nation and the world goes on. Where is the Word of God? There's no business. I don't have any more to give. Bob and I are making a sacrifice. You don't realize that. But some of you ladies, you picture your husband leaving for 2 months. You get some idea of the emotional problems involved here. We're no different than you. Only we've been married longer, which makes it harder. That's the only difference. Somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to go and live in conditions like this that are not conducive. And I'm happy to do it, and I know Bob is tickled to death because he can hardly keep him seated, and it ought to be a joy. But what I'm saying is this, if God keeps speaking, and if it is the Lord, and I had an altogether different what I was going to preach on tonight, but I was sitting there on the piano bench, and I thought, and it kept saying, you know, don't stop sounding the alarm, don't stop sounding the alarm. Boy, it's like talking to a war horse. Because the bells ring, you know, like a fire horse, and I can hear it because I know that's what God is saying. Yes. And what does that mean to you as an individual? Is your life really on the line? Or are you trying to use
what God is doing, make it work somehow. You can't. I know what it's meant to me, the end of my profession. Now it means leaving my wife. It means I'm a fastidious person. It means going into a place that which you cannot afford to be fastidious. It's not possible. And we don't do this with any heaviness of heart or any problem, because I have the assurance of the Lord it is absolutely His will, and I know He will take care of everything. But you think, see, the day of the paid minister is over. I'm not a preacher and you're the laity. Say, why are you saying this? You're unhappy? No, this church is paying my bills, and they've given me time to type and get the books done. That's wonderful. I appreciate it. I'm trying to reflect to you what God is saying, so you won't get get caught unprepared. Really, if I had my druthers, I'd tell you nice things, lovely things, and leave on a good note. But I feel responsible because I don't want you to get caught with a wrong impression. And I don't think God is measuring us by anything that He's seen that we have seen in Christianity. He's saying, I have given you a word, and I want it out. And until every nickel that you have, and every calorie of energy, and every bit of drive and creativity that you have is bent to the will of God that He has in your life, whatever it may be, whether it's in this church or some other, if you don't do that, you are going to miss the day of visitation. Praise the Lord. You cannot believe me. I'll say it again. I've said it before. If you're waiting at the wrong time. If you're waiting and your money is collecting interest and you're building up for your retirement, you are out of synchronization with God's will. This is the time to act. When it's over, your money won't do you any good. See, even if you have it and live to enjoy it, you will realize when your time has passed here, I blew it, and there's no recovering it. And like it says in Isaiah, in that day, they will cast their gold and their silver to the bats. Now that is a funny thing, because in a time of economic chaos, gold and silver are stable, relatively stable as compared with paper money. See, and ill-advised people are counseling Christians to save up gold and silver. That's why I say, if you want to do that, go to church in Fort Knox, because that's your God. But Isaiah says in that day, in the first chapter of Isaiah, they will cast their idols of gold and silver to the moles and to the bats. Now, if what kind of a situation on the earth would bring about where people would be casting their gold in the streets? That's what the Bible says. It's just like Judas, see. Judas had betrayed Messiah for 30 pieces of silver. When Satan had done the job, Satan showed him what he had done. You see what he did with his God? He threw it on the floor. See? Because there's things in a person's life that mean more than money. And we don't realize that, because Satan keeps us occupied, and it is Satan and the Antichrist spirit, with a false sense of security and ease, just like we have here in the church. And when the time is over, no matter how that is manifested, when God moves ahead and we no longer are able to do what we're doing now and no longer have the opportunity to communicate with the world, when our personal shot for that is gone, you may very well feel like taking your money and throwing it in the street. Because you'll say, my God, I missed my hour. And more than that, I was told, and I still didn't. Leslie's just sold his plumbing business. There's people here that are not playing games. I cannot judge you. I have no idea. Like Paul says, judge nothing before the time. I do not know. I'm only telling you what God has been speaking to my heart about the church. When I go away, Bob, they're not hearing. Is that the Lord? You judge. I don't say it too much, but when I hear prophecies like we had tonight, bang, 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 either they are of God or they are not. If they are of God, they correspond exactly with what God is giving me. If they are not of God, then we're all wrong. Me and these guys. If it is of God, then God is not saying to us, you're doing okay, and I'll come and I'll comfort you and you'll be all right. He's not saying that. He's saying, for heaven's sake, if that's what God says, wake up! Praise the Lord! Can you bear the word of exhortation? It's for you. It's for you. It's not for me. I'm doing all I know to do. If God shows me something by His grace, I am then to do it. If this is for you, this is for you. Bless your hearts. This is for you. To realize that God is not in the American thing like we think He is. You get a little flavor of that when you begin to talk with the Jews some, because you realize that they're being persecuted by the Jews, they're being persecuted by the Gentiles over in their nation, they're being shot at and killed and everything, and they don't know whether they're afoot or horseback, and then there's Poland, and then there's all the other places in the world, Lebanon, and there's a wonderful man that was blown up there, this leader of Lebanon. I was reading about one of the last speeches he made. He loved his country. This guy that was blown up, when they blew up this hotel where he was going to be the president, this was a wonderful man, a wonderful man. And there was two assassination attempts on his life. The second one, they killed his little daughter. The third one, they got him. That was before the thing in the camp. That was when they blew up the leader, the guy that was going to be president. A marvelous man. He wasn't Christian, he wasn't Jew, anything. He was just a Lebanese. He wanted to have a free country in which everyone could prosper. They blew him sky high. See? Well, that's the way people are living today that are doing things. And we can hide and be in our little thing and think, well, it's next week it'll be like this and the week after. But you see, we're not listening to the prophecy. The prophecy is saying, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. And if they're wrong, I'm wrong. He's not talking about nice things. Now I'm going to put your act together so you can continue to be a nice Christian. He's saying there's a great big world out there and I have a role for you to play and get with it, and I'll show you what to do if you'll seek my face. Praise the Lord. I can't tell you. You'll have to say, take yourself in hand when you go home and say, God, I'm not going to watch that stupid TV tonight. I am going to pray. This place should be alive Wednesday morning. We have a prayer meeting here Wednesday morning with the ladies. This place should be vibrating with prayer. Hallelujah! Not about, I got this and you feel good and I don't feel good. Not that stuff. Forget it. God, you know, seek first the kingdom. Come and cry unto God for Him to save the Jews. Cry unto God for Poland. Cry unto God for the things that are going on. Let's get out of ourselves and our pitiful situation. Yes. And reach out. God said, seek first the kingdom and I'll add these things to you. We're way too narrow-minded. The world's passing us by and we can't see past the end of our nose. And God wants us praying about the mighty moves of God on the earth today. It's involving many people, and they, most of them, probably just about all of them, have never even heard of the Feast of the Lord. The Jews never even heard of the tabernacle that we were teaching. Never even heard of it. I brought a couple of books with me. Bang, like that, they were purchased. One by the pastor of the synagogue where we were. What are we doing? What are we doing? I wonder if we're giving it our best shot. We have wonderful openings on the radio now. We could go on this other thing. We have 22 states in Canada. That would be a big load off my back. That would be nearly half the United States, maybe 100 million people potential. If they don't listen, that's their problem. But we've done our part. Do you see what I mean? Or we can save our money and it'll collect interest.
We have the choice.
We can buy the radio time, or we can save it and let it collect interest for that unspecified time in the future when we might need it. And maybe then we won't need it. Right? Think about it. Pray about it. Are you waiting for some unspecified time in the future? Or are you hearing what the prophecy is saying? I don't know how long our time is. God is talking about judgment so much as practically every day. You know, so after a while, I figure, yeah, judgment's coming. We're alive today, praise the Lord. That's wonderful. He doesn't give me all this stuff about, you know, how he loves his church and that's going to go up to heaven. He doesn't give me that. It's Thompson, it's time to get with what God is doing. Praise the Lord. We're in such an age in history, I tell you, wealthy men, wise men, kings, rulers, priests, prophets would have loved to be in our day. Praise the Lord. Wouldn't it be a disgrace and a shame if we spent our time in a little, just making a living, when the great strides of God were going on. Jesus was walking by our door and we were busy dusting the furniture because he kicked up the dust when he walked by. Praise the Lord, you follow me? So be alert when you hear the prophecies and say to yourself, are these people raving? Are they saying something from God? And are they all saying the same thing? Because when the trumpet is blowing, if it is blown correctly, there will be a call to action. If it finishes up and you feel, oh, well, nuts, there's nothing to do, something's going bananas. The prophecy should leave you with a... It's not a self-contained thing that we do and nothing happens. It must move us to action. If it does not, it is not God or else we are deaf. Praise the Lord! Yeah. Now, thank you. I don't know if I'm ever going to get what I'm supposed to be speaking about tonight. You know, it was very interesting to see how God is moving. You know, Audrey and I were sitting in the back of this big Lutheran church on a Saturday night after they had the Feast of Tabernacles outside. And it was about 11 or 12 youngsters, intermediate-sized kids. And we know the church was still dark, and we were waiting for them to come in, and a Jewish person was going to come in and explain the ethrog and the lulav, what they do to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And we saw these kids trooping up to the altar, and they come back down the aisle, and then went up there again. We thought, what in the world? It was the funniest thing. Out of a clear blue sky, there was 11 or 12 children who wanted to go up and accept Christ. They had a couple of ladies who walked up with them, and they went up and they kneeled at this Lutheran altar and accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. That's the kind of things that God is doing today. Praise the Lord! And see, there's that ministry going on, and they have that ministry, and God has given us a ministry, and all the churches have things to be giving. And they're not all the same. All right, now... trying to get the mind of the Lord exactly so that, well, in this feast of the Lord, the last three, as you remember, is trumpets, and then the Day of Atonement. These are the last three feasts. Now remember, this is in the seventh month, as we told about this morning. This is the beginning of the agricultural year. And of course, a couple weeks ago, we're in this part now, goes September, October. A couple weeks ago was trumpets, and then the Day of Atonement was a week ago or so. These are 10 days apart. And then came the Feast of Tabernacles, and we were there during the Feast of Tabernacles and celebrated. But this they did not know. At least the Gentiles did not know this. See, all they want to do now is celebrate tabernacles. And this last week They celebrated tabernacles in Jerusalem at this Christian embassy. By the way, last year at this time, they had 4,000 people, but the interesting thing was the Israeli army marched, and after them were supposed to be the Lebanese Christians, either Lebanese or Muslim and Christian. I think it was the Lebanese Christians, and that they showed up late, and they needed to fill a hole in the parade after the Israeli army. And you know who they put in there? The Christian embassy. All these Christians marched behind the Israeli army, and furthermore, the Marleys were in it. I didn't know that till I come back, but I was told that while I was in Florida, and they were talking about how God is moving, and they're all excited. Now, every year, they're going to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, because in Zechariah the 14th, it talks about the Feast of Tabernacles, you see. So they're all excited about it, and that's why they asked me to come up to teach them about the Feast of Tabernacles, and to help them share in the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, don't you find this remarkable? Because, you see, the tabernacles is the third block that comes after what? Pentecost. See, the three great feasts are the Passover, Pentecost, and then tabernacles. Do you see that God is moving past Pentecost to tabernacles? Did you ever hear anybody 5 years ago talking about tabernacles? Now they're all talking about tabernacles. Everything is tabernacles, tabernacles. And this book that just came out in July that I wrote, What Comes After Pentecost, is on the Feast of Tabernacles. And I gave it to these people in the Christian embassy. I said, this book is on the Feast of Tabernacles. It is. And one guy took off the next day to Jerusalem carrying one under his arm. So you see the timing of the Lord. It's marvelous. But what they do not know is that there are three feasts involved. And I checked this out with the Jewish pastor. And I said, now I teach these three go in the tabernacles. And I said, I've never heard anybody say it. I've never read it as such. I'm the only one that I know of. They don't put the last three together. And I talked to the leader of this Jewish temple around Kadesh in Lauderhill, Florida. I said, what do the rabbis say? What do you say about this? And he says, absolutely. And he had been teaching on it all this last month that trumpets is the Lord coming to announce the days of penitence. And the Day of Atonement is the time of repenting and getting right with God, and it's on those two things that the Feast of Tabernacles is based. Do you see? The people are ready now. They're dancing and praising the Lord, and they want to go into tabernacles, but you have two preliminary feasts that are prerequisite. If you do not go through those, you're not ready for tabernacles. And that's the way this Jewish man is teaching it from the rabbis. And that's the way it is in my book. All right, this is what it means to us. We want to come into this wonderful end time move of the Lord, and it's past Pentecost. But in order to do so, the trumpets is alerting us to that we have to repent and get right with God. See, we have to get reconciled in our life to the things that God wants reconciled. You see that? So, I've gone through it before, but basically the three things that we have to get reconciled are on our love of the world, and on our love of sin, and on our love of self. And see, these are the three areas that were out of whack with God. And that's what God's talking about. He's blowing the trumpet, and he's announcing that he wants to be reconciled to us. And that's what happened in this church tonight. And until we go through those steps, we cannot enter into tabernacles, because tabernacles is the entering of Jesus into us in his fullness. The fullness of God, and he cannot do that if we are not reconciled to him. Now, if we're trying to make God the co-pilot, and that's what Christianity, by and large, that's what our tradition does. We try to make God the co-pilot. See, God, you heal me when I'm sick. God, you get me a better job when I'm broke. God, you do this for me. Help me with my family. God, you see, what we're doing is we don't realize that, but we're making God the co-pilot. We're the pilot. Basically, this is our life. And we've got our hand on the wheel, and this is the way we're going. We've set ourselves off, we're making a living, we're going along. We kind of have a plan in our mind about what we'll have net spendable when we're 62 or 65. And so much money in the bank and this, and that's basically our life. And God is over here, He's the co-pilot. And whenever our program goes a little awry, oh God, help me. But what we're crying out for basically is for God to help us to do what we want to. We don't realize that. But that's where we are. All right, now the basic change that we have to make is to get God in the pilot seat and we're in the co-pilot. And we don't approach God in the same way at all. When we get up in the morning, we're not saying, oh God, fix this up so that I can do my thing. We're saying, God, what adventure do you have for me today? I'm following you. It's a whole different way of looking at things. Whole different way of looking at things, of looking at life and everything. Nothing, you know, everything goes to God. You want to use me? Great, you know. Hallelujah, what's on today? I know one thing, you're not going to waste me. With all this going on in the world, I'm not just going to go on in my mundane way for very long. There isn't time for that, see. But at the same time, we don't jump out and do a lot of nutty things because we're nervous. But we have to get that change of viewpoint because until we do, God will not use us because we're not in the place where we can be used. And that's why God brings us into such sorrow. And I don't want you to come into sorrow. That's the last thing in the world I want. But I'll tell you this, until we voluntarily say, God, take the love of the world out of me, take the love of sin out of me, and take the love of self, until we do that and allow God to reconcile and pull down all these things, God comes along and says, they're not doing it themselves. Okay, I'll help. And boy, does he help. I mean, the first thing you know, you've got a personal tragedy in your family. And it will move you to prayer. You say, boy, I didn't know this was possible. I could pray like that. You'd be surprised what you can do when you have to. But until we're goaded and driven and thrust out of our nest, it seems that we're so comfortable that even with the best of intentions, we somehow can't do it. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's why I think sometimes I say, well, Lord, you, the people, you know, you love them and everything. But the Lord is saying, you know, oi! See? In other words, God doesn't want to beat you on the head, and He doesn't want to rock this place and destroy everybody and drown it and burn up the place. But if He has to, He will. See, that's the point. And you and I may very well, if David Wilkerson is a true prophet, and I believe he is, we may very well in the near future be facing colossal change. People dying, our economy wiped out. This is a massive drought. I wouldn't doubt it for a second. There's nothing else will wake America up in the locked step we're in. We're locked into a way and we just can't seem to shake ourselves. And God, it isn't that He doesn't love us. He does love us. It's simply that we have cut ourselves off. See, we're not hearing. And God will not impose His will on anybody. What He does is He works circumstances until you holler for Him to move. See the difference? He doesn't come and say, now do it. He would rather have you say, please God, take the love of the world out of me. See? Really, that's what He does. So He won't cross your will. The Holy Spirit is as gentle as a dove. And so what He does is He gets your feet so hot that you say, oh God, deliver me. I'd love to. It's a little different approach. Praise the Lord. So that's how we're looking forward to, and I guess the moral of that lesson is, do it yourself. Don't wait till you hurt so bad. Say, oh God, I thank God my program's in order and there's no tragedy in my house and everything. Lord, just do it the easiest way you possibly can. And just move me. I don't want to be the pilot of this ship. I want you to be the pilot. If you're blowing the trumpet, God, and you really want to enter me in a new and living way and use me and greet the Jews and bring them into the kingdom, do all these wonderful things, and reach the world for the gospel, and India and Russia, and all these. And Lord, surely I have a place in this. Oh God, you don't have to bomb me out of my shelter here. Just use me, I'm available. And I dare say, if you keep praying that way, something will happen. See? But if not, if we go on and say, well, you know, well, then all of a sudden we get a telegram one day, and our, you know, the strength goes out of our knees, and we collapse on the floor and say, God, I didn't know you'd do it. But he does. Because, you see, he has mercy on these Lebanese and on the PLO and the Jews and the Arabs and all these. God has mercy on them. They're human beings. And they're suffering and they're dying in ignorance. They don't know. And so God doesn't look on us as any favor. You know, we're crazy as Gentiles, nations, to think that God loves us more than the Jews. The whole Bible's against that. The whole Bible's against that. No, if he loves one group more than any other, it's Israel after the flesh. If God loves any nation more than any other, it's the Jews, hands down. It's not the English. See? So leave us be reasonable here. Praise the Lord. As notice, and just finish up here. Well, if we and everybody else have got to go through this Day of Atonement, it's my blessed privilege to tell people you just can't sneak in the tabernacles. There's to come through the door. But that's all right. Praise the Lord. That's, you know, great. People want a straight. Well, we're in John 17, and you notice, I thought we were in John 17. He says, 15th verse, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. John 17:15. See, he's not talking here to Gentiles. He's not talking here to the nations. He's talking to Jews. Think of that. Just think about that. Not a bomb. He's talking here to the Jews. Just Jews. They are not of the world, even as not of the world. These Jews he's talking about. See? We didn't come into the picture at this point. See, we read this like it was a Gentile book. It's not a Gentile book. It's a Jewish book. Yeah, you say, well, Brother Tom, Christ is neither Jew nor Greek. That's true. In Christ, because he's spiritual, there is not Jew nor Greek. But you see, when a Jew comes into Christ and a Greek comes into Christ, it makes us one Israel, not one Gentile. All right. Then he goes on in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, that is for these Jews around me, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now we have believed on Jesus through the word of Jews. Paul, James, John, Jude, Peter, Matthew. We have believed because of their word. We of the nations have believed. And then I have to skip along, and he says that they all may be one. That is, that there may be one church, one body. All right, now this is the Feast of Tabernacles, and I learned something there from one of the Jews talking that I never thought of. You know, when Peter said, let us build here three tabernacles, I thought that was the nuttiest thing. I thought Peter would cracked up at this point. Let us build three tabernacles. He said, what Peter was saying, he said the Jews believe that they'll keep the Feast of Tabernacles in the millennium and when the kingdom comes. And Peter thought the kingdom had come, and he was saying, let's keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And that makes perfect sense. I never heard that before. He's talking about booths. Let's make a booth for you and a booth for Elijah. I thought that was crazy. But this Jewish man explained it. He said, what Peter thought that the kingdom had come. And they associate tabernacles with the kingdom. Now, isn't that something? I never heard anybody say that. Boy, you learn something all the time, don't you? And he said that they all may be one. And see, and he's speaking of the Jews, and now the Gentiles have been brought in. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. And I want you to notice something. He said, where he says, I want them to be with me. And that's in verse 24. That they may be with me where I am. Did you get that? Let us sink in. I got 10 minutes. Let us sink in. Be with me where I am. Grab that one. You got it? We're going to be with Jesus where he am. Right? Huh? Do you see it in black and white? On the red letter, whatever you got? Huh? Put your finger on it. Notice that. And all right. Now, if you notice in 1 Thessalonians... four, we have the same thing. He said, verse 17, 1 Thessalonians 4, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Right? Okay. Now remember that. Now, you go over to this Zechariah 14 that I've alluded to and that everybody's raving about over in Jerusalem now, the Feast of Tabernacles. It spells out the end time. But we have not understood, and Brother Cox and some of those that have been well versed in the scriptures will appreciate this. We have not understood our role in this. Zechariah. Did you find Zechariah already? Yes. Zechariah. Malachi. So before Malachi. Malachi comes just before Matthew. This the intertestamental period, and then you go back, it says Malachi, and then Zechariah. Okay, does everybody find Zech? Alright, now you go to the 14th chapter. Alright, now I want you to know this is going to come to pass. Because you remember in Zechariah 9:9, isn't it? He says, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, he's just and lowly. You know, the prophets come to pass. But now, that Zechariah 9:9, that came to pass about 500, between 500 and 600 years after Zech had spoken it. I want you to get a feeling for the prophets. You know Isaiah spoke, and he said, the day of the Lord's coming, it's at hand, and the earth shall be rolling to and fro and be removed and everything. And then he says, a virgin shall be with child. Well, just that part, a virgin shall be with child, you know how long that came after Isaiah prophesied of that? 800 years. You know, that would be like somebody said something in the year 1200 A.D. and it just came to pass. And then the other things that Isaiah said won't come to pass for until Jesus comes. What I'm trying to give you a feeling of it is that when the prophets say something, it may not come to pass right away, like tomorrow. But it does come to pass. It's just locked in. And when the people that God saves are not necessarily the people that have experienced it only, but the people who responded to the prophecy correctly. Do you get that? We have people saying, well, if I see the Lord coming and these things come to pass, then I'm going to, all of a sudden, you know, I'm going to draw my money out of the bank and I'm going to send out missionaries and all this. Let me tell you the problem with that. You and I, these things that I spoke to you about, they may not come to pass in our lifetime. See, when God speaks, it seems so imminent. But you see, God, it's 600 years is nothing to God. Well, to us, that's what, three times the time our country's been in existence. Huh? Do you see what I'm trying to say? It's over a big thing. Imagine a man says a virgin should be with child. 600 years later, 800 years later. You see that? But what, as each generation is born and dies, they read that and they say one or the other. They either say, hallelujah, or who cares? And it's on that basis that God saves them. And when the Lord comes, he will bring those people that said, hallelujah, because he will bring them to see the thing come to pass. And what Paul was talking about in 1 Thessalonians 4, to the where we got a crazy thing, we're flying off to heaven, is not talking about. Paul had taught those people about the kingdom and that we were going to be with Jesus and be over in Jerusalem. And the first thought in their mind was, my husband died and my son died and here I'll be over there. And he says, hang loose because Jesus will bring them with him. That's what 1 Thessalonians is about. It's a word saying when the kingdom comes, your relatives will go over there to Jerusalem with you.
The other is crazy. It doesn't fit anything. It's not, Paul said, wherefore, he says, I would that you sorrow not about those which are asleep, because Jesus is going to bring them with him. That's the meaning of, hit me like a ton of bricks, because the pastor in his Lutheran church was talking about, well, particularly one young lady, I guess it was 38 or something like that, that had just died and left a husband and some small children, and she just passed away. And here, that Sunday morning we were there, I think she'd been buried on Thursday or something, here they came up, a little girl with a $100 check in her hand to give to missions, because of a new mission. And boy, it just, I was thinking to myself, brother, don't weep or mourn. When Jesus comes, he'll bring your wife with him. Praise the Lord. So that all can enter into the kingdom. Do you see that? All right. Now, we're going to be with Jesus. Is that right? So shall we ever be with the Lord. All right. Now, this is what's going to come to pass in the last days in Zechariah 14. And this is what they're hollering about, you see? And it will come to pass. Part of Zechariah has already come to pass, see? All right, but this hasn't yet. Behold, the day is coming for the Lord, when the spoil taken from you will be divided among you. Now, this is what's going to happen in the near future. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle. Now, we see them lining up today.
Yes.
Listen, there is a rise of anti-Semitism. Do you realize that?
Yeah.
In Italy and all over, France, all over the place. I expect we'll have it in our nation. We're beginning to see the things. The headlines is beginning, you know, all these horrible things these Jews have done. They don't tell you the other part. They don't tell you how these people have been sniped at and blown up and everything for all these years. They don't tell you that. It's just, you see, the public sentiment is turning, even in our nation. And there's anti-Semitism coming up. And this is what he says. And the city will be captured, that is Jerusalem. The houses plundered, the women ravished, and half of the city exiled. But the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fights on a day of battle. Now, where will we be? With him. Don't you see? So shall we ever be with the Lord. The teaching that we're going to go to heaven and Christ has an earthly kingdom has robbed us of what God's going to do with us. He's not going to leave us in heaven while he does these things. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Is that right? Amen. He's not going to be separate. He waited all these 2,000 years for us. Then he's not going to leave us up there while he comes down here to the Jews. It's crazy. We're going to be with him, part of him. All right? Now, and in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. See, that's where he ascended. He ascended from the Mount of Olives. He's going to come back down to the very spot from which he ascended. And the Mount of Olives will be split in its middle from east to west by a very large valley. That will be a crack running east and west, so that the north and south will pull apart, see? Half of the mountain will move toward the north, and the other half toward the south. And you will flee by the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains will reach to Azel. Yes, you will flee just as you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones with him. See, we're coming with him. Those who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And we're going to be right here doing all this stuff. And it will come about in that day that there will be no light. The luminaries will dwindle. Well, Jesus told us that. The sun will be dark and the moon will not give us light. For it will be a unique day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night. But it will come about that at evening time there will be light. And it will come about in that day that living waters will flow out of Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea, which I guess must be the Persian Gulf, and the other half toward the western sea, the Mediterranean. It will be in summer as well as in winter. Now, what did Jesus say on the day of the Feast of Tabernacles? He that believeth in me, out of his inmost being shall flow rivers of living water. And he said that on the eighth day of Tabernacles, the great day of the feast. See? All right. And the Lord will be king over all the earth in that day. Now, where will we be? With the Lord. That where I am, there he may be also. So shall we ever be with the Lord. All right.
And in that day, the Lord will be the only one, and his name the only one. All the land will be changed into a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. But Jerusalem will rise and remain on its site from Benjamin's gate as far as the place of the first gate to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses. Now this will come to pass exactly. See, we have not known where the spiritual enters into the natural. But you want to remember that Jesus is the king, and Jesus is glorified flesh and bone. And he will not be ruling over an earthly Israel. These people will be touched with the Lord and made alive, because God will return again to Israel. And in fact, in eternity, what's the name of the city that rules the earth? The New Jerusalem. See, it's still Jerusalem, and the names of the 12 tribes are still in the walls. They're in the walls of the New Jerusalem for eternity, because the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Right? Praise the Lord. Now, we have been brought in to be with him, to be with him when he does these things in Jerusalem. And people will live in it. There will be no more curse, for Jerusalem will dwell in security. Now look at this. This will be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the peoples who have gone to war against Jerusalem. That's what I told you. The United States had better watch its step. You see, they did plunder Jerusalem, didn't they? God used them, as we saw in verse 2. God used them to still come against Jerusalem. And that's why Jesus said, when you see these things coming to pass, flee. There's another time of fleeing for the Jews yet. But there will be some who will not flee, and they're going to suffer terribly. But look what happens to the nations that God used to punish them. This will be the plague. Their flesh will rot while they stand on their feet. Think of that. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongue will rot in their mouth. And it will come about in that day that a great panic from the Lord will fall on them, and they will seize one another's hand, and the hand of one will be lifted against the hand of the other. This is the nations. Now, all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And Judah also will fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the surrounding nations will be gathered, gold and silver and garments in great abundance. So also like this plague will be the plague on the horse, the mule, the camel, the donkey, and all the cattle will be in those camps. Then it will come about that any who are left of all the nations that went against Jerusalem, you see that phrase? See that? The nations are going to be wiped out, because God's hand is on the Jews. Yeah. He has not forgotten. That's what Paul said. They are beloved for the Father's sake. God has not forgotten his people. Praise the Lord. All right. Whatever's left, that is of the Gentile nations, will go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to celebrate the Feast of Booths. That's the Feast of Tabernacles. And if the family of Egypt does not go up or enter, then no rain will fall on them. It will be the plague with which the Lord smites the nations who do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Booths. This will be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all the nations who do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Booths. In that day there will be inscribed on the bells of the horses, "Holy to the Lord," and the cooking pots in the Lord's house will be like the bowls before the altar. That is, everything will be super holy. And every cooking pot in Jerusalem and in Judah will be holy to the Lord of hosts, and all who sacrifice will come and take of them and boil in them, and there will no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts in that day. Now, where will we be? With him. See, that we won't be up in heaven eating lollipops or... Oh, boy. People say we're going to be up there and we're going to worship God for 1,000 years. And down here, if they worship God for 15 minutes, you know, so. No, we've got more exciting things to do. We're going to be with the Lord. The Lord showed me that one time by revelation. His heart, he is looking forward. See, many of us in here have deferred hope. We have things that we want so badly.
but the Lord defers them, and it acts as kind of a cross and a motivation. Do you know what I'm saying? There's nothing like a deferred hope to motivate you. It'll drive you night and day. The Lord also has a deferred hope. He wants to reveal himself to his people after the flesh. Okay? He wants them because they're the ones, remember he said, I called you out of the world. Those were Jews. And he wants all those black-haired people, with a few redheads, notice. Someone got a red-headed Jew. Also a black hair. But they're national. It's a race just like any other race, but it's the only race in the world that God has ever called out as a race. It's the only one. It's the only one. There's no other race. He never called out the English or the Scotch. I just talk about my own background. He never called them out and said, you're a holy people unto the Lord. There's been a lot of powerful Scotch preachers and English preachers. But only the Jews have been called out as a race. They're the only ones. And according to Zechariah, God's going to turn to them again, you see. And Jesus, you reveal this to me. He has a tremendous love and a tremendous intensity toward that thing. And it is going to make his heart so glad. So, all right, we've had the Passover when Jesus died on the cross. We've had Pentecost in the book of Acts. Now, when God keeps the Feast of Tabernacles, it's going to be when he returns again to the Jews, and we with him, and the Lord enters in. As he says, all Israel shall be saved. He enters in, and we become one with him as he is with the Father. The Jews first, because the gospel's always to the Jew first. And then we Gentiles, who have been grafted in the true vine, will be there to see Jesus crowned king at Jerusalem. Isn't that wonderful? Do you realize that one day, Carrie, one day, we will see Jesus come down on the Mount of Olives. I mean, he'll actually be there, and the thing will split. Just like it says, you go a little bit to the northwest to fight the Battle of Armageddon, crush the nations of the earth, and then we will be there in the throngs in Jerusalem. Can you imagine with the patriarchs and all these Jews that he brings back with him, as well as the Gentiles, from the Christian ages that are of God's elect, and we see Jesus take his steps up and sit down upon the throne of David, and that's going to happen just like that. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, and I'm sure God the Father won't be visible, but there'll be another voice speaking out of heaven. Because he said, I've glorified my name once, I'm going to glorify it again. He's going to glorify it again. And God looks down upon that thing in the cloud, passes over the throne, and the voice comes out, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Hallelujah. And all the saints and the elect and the martyrs of all ages begin to sing, crown him Lord of Lords, crown him. And the mighty Jesus stands up there, and I don't know who put the crown on his head. Might be John the Baptist, it might be David himself, it might be just a miracle, I don't know. I expect God will have David put it on his head. That's kind of fitting, isn't it? David, the father, puts it on the greater son. The greater son of David puts it on, realizing, and all bow in reverence, and then all the nations, what's left of them, begin to regroup and multiply and bear children, and they come up to Zion to be taught of God. Oh, what a day we're looking forward to. And you see, when the trumpet is blowing, what God is saying is, you're coming now to this last great feast, and it will culminate in Zechariah 14. This is what they're saying now over these people that are working with the Jews. Every time I turn around, is Zechariah 14. See that the Spirit of God is pointing us toward this. This will culminate probably before too long. And wouldn't it be a shame if God has called you to some key place in this pattern, and you actually spent your whole life getting your program straightened together and getting healed and everything, and finally grew old, and and then you withered away. And whereas you could have been in God's plan of the ages.
We give glory unto your name. Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thou art the one that we worship, Lord. Hallelujah. You are the one, Jesus. Lord, you came upon us, Lord of the nations. Hallelujah, Lord, you found us in our blood, Lord. We were not of the house and lineage of Abraham, Lord, but you called us who were not a people. You said it shall be my people, Lord. Hallelujah, and you came, Lord, and you found us in our blood. And Lord, you washed us and made us pure in your own precious blood. Hallelujah, and you put your spirit upon us. Hallelujah, and you said, I'll make you a name better than sons and daughters, but kings and priests in my kingdom. And oh Lord, we have such a battle letting go of the world, letting go of sin, letting go of our self-will, Lord, that we might enter wholly into the Feast of Tabernacles, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord, we pray you will blow the trumpet and blow it and blow it and blow it, Lord, until we wake up, Lord, and until we are wholly reconciled to your plan for our life, until it dawns on us, Lord, that we're no longer Gentiles, Lord, but we are of the royal priesthood, sons of Aaron, hallelujah, ready to minister in the courts of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, speak truly to us, Lord. Don't give up on us, Lord. Don't allow us to miss the day of our visitation. Do whatever is necessary, Lord. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord. Jesus, to share what we have, Lord. If it's the word, help us to share it, Lord, with the body of Christ. Whatever it may be, Lord, whatever you would have us to do as individuals. Oh, God, just don't take your hand off us, Lord. Don't give up on us, Lord, as being unworthy of the kingdom. Oh, God, we realize you're doing such tremendous things today, Lord. The nations are lining up against your chosen people, Lord, exactly as the scriptures said. We see the spirit of Antichrist. It's already in our country. It's already in the churches. Lord, the churches are seeking material wealth and bowing down and worshiping the dollar. God, remove this cursed uncleanness from us. Oh, remove this cursed thing from us, oh God. Jesus, these vile gods of atheism. Oh God, partying, drunkenness, fornication. Jesus, deliver us from these Gentile gods. Oh God, rescue us, Lord. Oh, you graft us into the true olive tree. Now, Lord, help us to realize, Lord, that we are part of your chosen people, Lord. Hallelujah. We have been brought into the eternal plan of God. Oh, we're going to be with you forever and ever, Lord, as your King over all the earth, Lord. As you make yourself known to your people, Lord, we'll be with you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God, help us to grasp the calling that's on our lives. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that our loved ones, you're going to bring them with you. Hallelujah. We will not go over to Jerusalem alone, Lord, but they will be with us, Lord. Hallelujah. We will all go together. Hallelujah. To keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Oh, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Somehow, Lord, break the lockstep. Amen, Lord. Make sure that this assembling of people, Lord, does your will, Lord. Oh, God, don't give up on us. Help us to hear what you're saying. Oh, Lord, if we're asleep, do whatever's necessary to wake us up, Lord. Give us a true word, a true witness, a true knowledge. We don't want to be lulled asleep. We don't want to be comforted or made more secure, Lord. We need to know what God is saying before we have to have it all torn from us, Lord, so that we can get a true perspective. Oh, God, we need help. We're a needy people tonight, Lord. We're a needy people tonight. A needy people, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. 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 Oh, I think each one of us, we should be calling out to the Lord, Lord, where do I fit into this thing? Lord, where do I fit into this thing? Lord, you haven't called me to live the Gentile life and eat and sleep and marry and give in marriage and buy and sell. Lord, you haven't called us to this thing, Lord. Jesus. You haven't called us, Lord, to worship the money market. Our gold, our silver, our dollars. Jesus, you haven't called us to worship this. Oh, Lord. Oh, show us as individuals. Show me, Lord. Show us. Lord, if we're coming short of the glory of God, if it's business as usual, Lord, show us. Don't leave us, Lord. Make us to know. Make us to know, Lord. We love you. We trust you, Lord. Don't let us go on, Lord, until we have to learn the hard way, Lord. Oh, God, I know you're going to hold us responsible for all the teaching that we've had, for everything we've experienced in you, Lord. You're going to hold us directly responsible, Lord. There's so few, so few, so few, Lord, that understand your plan. Oh, God. Oh, God. Make sure, Lord, that we're not playing games, Lord. Make sure that we're not just asleep in Zion, at ease in Zion, Lord. So it's all become as a pleasant song. Someone sings a nice song, plays well on an instrument, and we go home to business as usual. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, give us a vision of what you're doing in the world, Lord, that we may find our role in it and function in it, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we do pray that in this time of duress on Israel, Lord, as there's anti-Semitism springing up, Lord, we pray that you will turn. You will use these things to turn your own chosen people to Jesus. Oh, God, that many of their eyes might be open, Lord. They might realize that Jesus is Messiah. Oh, God, grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, that their eyes might be open, Lord. That they won't trust, Lord, in their air force and their courage, Lord, and their soldiers. They'll turn to you, Lord. Turn to the one that was bruised for their iniquities, Lord. Oh, God, the greater Son of David, open their eyes, Lord. Open their eyes, Lord, to see you, we pray. Hallelujah. Help us to repay the debt, Lord, that we have as Gentiles to our Jewish teachers and apostles, Lord. Help us to, as Paul said, he was a debtor to all men. Lord, help us to pay back, Lord, that which has been given to us so freely. Oh, God, help us to pay that debt back. Help us to realize, Lord, that we really have a debt to pay. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Don't let us be freeloaders, Lord, in the kingdom of God. Oh, Jesus, help us to pay our own way, Lord, to do what you want from us, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you.
drove his nail. But my stuff walked over. Step by step. Don't look to the left or the right. Look to my head. I'm the Lord your God who will show you the way. I want you to go. Just listen and be obedient. That you may know that I am the Lord your God who set up the kingdom the way I want it. That you may put your soul as a little sacrifice upon the altar, that I may disturb to them our hungry and thirsty. The water will flow from my throne to all the parts of the earth. I will do what is necessary. You have to be obedient and listen. Cast away all those things of this world that you may enter into my presence.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Audrey and Georgianne and Bob and myself will come and stand in the aisle. I'll ask Walter to come up now and officiate. Maybe you'd like to pray over us as we be leaving tomorrow for India early in the morning, driving up to L.A. So maybe Walter, if you'd like to come and the four of us, you might want to pray. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. But I would say to thee, I will do a new thing, and I shall cause thee, even as a loaf of bread, to be broken and refined into many, many, many pieces. For thou shalt be given forth, and you shall find in the giving forth of thyself, and of myself within you, that you shall be refining that, and you shall be giving forth even many, 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 a multitude of pieces of bread, and it shall go forth even in this manner, for I shall cause thee to be cast upon the waters. I shall cause thee to be cast upon the waters of my heart yearns for, the waters of my heart breaks for, the waters of my heart cries for, and I shall cast you upon the waters even more than you have known, saith the Lord.
Much bread I've seen and I've heard, but I would speak unto this people a word. Take heed, people, unto this word, the Lord God, God hath given to thee. The Lord God that look at your hearts, and the effect that shall come upon these men shall be the effect from which you give it. And as the Lord doth look upon you, and you should do strive in Christ, and you should do uphold them in Christ, they shall feel the strength. They shall feel the hands go forth, but I would say to thee, even to the smallest, even to the smallest, oh, beware lest the enemy come into you, and the men feel it. Oh, Jesus, I feel this so strong, Lord. I feel, Father, that Jesus, it's up to us, Lord. That the Lord, if we allow the flesh, we allow sin to come in our lives, Father, while they're there, that Jesus, they're going to sense it, Father. They're going to sense it, Lord, because we've let down in prayer. There's a block, Lord. Oh, Jesus, don't let a block come, Father. But Jesus, keep us free. Keep us going in your spirit, Lord. Father God, Father, surely, Lord God, you said we feel it. You said, Lord God, that you sense the power, Father. But oh, Lord, keep us clean. Keep us clean, Lord. Let us strive, oh God, to keep from the flesh, Lord. Jesus, strive in you, Father, as we work together, Lord, as a team. Great things, Lord. I see great things, Lord God, you're going to do, Father. Oh, Jesus, even the smallest, Lord, that the parents will even take heed to the children and explain it to them. Oh, Jesus, if this be you, Lord, then bring it about. Jesus, give us the strength and the power to bring it about, Lord God, and see the enemy crushed under the hand of our God. Lord Jesus, place your hand on the enemy, Lord. For surely, oh God, you've seen what we ask for. You've seen what we pray for, Lord. You see what we yearn for, oh God. Bring it, Lord. Bring it, Jesus. Bring it into being, Lord. And oh God, as you do, we know we're a part of it, Lord. We know we're a part of it. Oh, Father, keep us clean. Keep us clean, Lord. Remind us of this word. Don't let go from this, Father. Remind us, Lord Jesus, the importance of it. Oh, Jesus, see
heart and soul, Father, give me to the service of all Christ you want to do. You send them out by you, Father, and I ask, Lord, that you make us the blessing of Father. Wherever they go, Father, you be with them. And that the water coming from the flow through them, Lord, and our men of simplicity of your word, for there's so many times have been misunderstood, and the Lord will pour out their mouth, Lord. Jesus the Son, and he says, the thing that I hear and say, Lord, my own, on the Father. And that they may receive that in a way, Lord, that the blessing of them, O Lord, from you, Lord, is pleasing. And that you be with them, Lord, wherever they are. And that you may bless them, Father. And that you may guide and direct them, Lord, in the way that you want them to be. And that the word that they give is from you. And that they may receive it freely down there. And Lord, that the signs and wonders may follow.
Yes,
it is. And that the word is that we stand up on you. And be grateful for us. Keep your hand. Father, I am not bowed by any grace, that it is you, Lord, the God, the time of your life. So, Lord, I ask that we may have sought you to be and for Harvey and for God, Lord, that we pray that they can meet the strength of you in all the states in the midst of all this world, and that you may get the pasture of your heart and the peace of it needed, Lord, that you are with us. So, all things. But you do, Lord, towards our children. And so, Father, thank peace upon the woman who stay behind and the children. And Lord, let it be a prayer that you may give us a good power that is needed, Lord, thankful for you, Lord. And that we may learn to understand, Lord, whatever it is, the superior of you will fall if you are not a leader. So, Father, I thank you, and I pray you for the wonderful way that you have. And it is you, Lord, to be a moment in all things. And you will send them out to one of the south. This is the beginning of many things. Let it be a symbol for us, Lord, as we build and receive your own life. So, Lord, I pray you tonight. And you put your blessing on our hearts. And thank you.